6:05, July 23rd. First item is the approval of minutes of the April 30th and the May 10th, 2019 minutes. Let's take them separately. Let's go with April 30th first.
Cully moves to accept the minutes as presented.
I'll second that.
Peterson seconds. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And the May 10th meeting. Go ahead.
Another motion. Excuse me. I'll make a motion. We accept. We approve the May 10th, 2019 minutes. And I'm Mike Lewis.
And Mary will second.
Moved and seconded for the minutes of May 10th. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, capacity building grant updates. And first off is the Tread of Pioneers with Candace.
Hi, hello. Candace.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Let's see. So I emailed Helena the update.
Sorry, could you say your full name?
Sure. I'm Candace Bannister with the Tread of Pioneers Museum. B-A-N-N-I-S-T-E-R. C-A-N-D-I-C. So I emailed an update to Helena with the update on the House and Hill audio tour post project, which was the grant that was most recently approved. And I have just some bullets here that progress made was just making some more plans on the project. The company that actually is the vendor for the audio post, I met with them down at a conference in New Orleans and was able to see it in person and test it out and make some plans for it. Where we're getting sort of stuck is taking all of the information that's available on Carl Halson, Stephen Springs Winter Sports Club, Halson Hill, ski jumping, Nordic Combined, and sort of condensing it into 90 seconds. So, and we have been, well, hopefully you've seen in the newspaper, just up to our ears in programs and events and two new exhibits this summer. And so taking time out for that has been a little behind. So we're in the script writing stage. And some good news, sort of an update since I last applied to the committee, is that I contacted the gal, Shannon Lukens, from the radio station, and she's agreed to do professional voice on it, which was going to be a substantial portion of the project cost, potentially. And so she's going to do an in-kind for most of that, so that'll be great. So really all we have left to do is keep working on the scripts, get it recorded with Shannon, ship it off to the company. They load it onto the audio post, and the city helps us install it. So once the scripts are finished, I don't anticipate a lot of time, but it's just taking a lot more time than we thought. So where I had hoped to have it installed this summer, I think I had a little bit more, thought I had a little bit more time on our hands that we don't have. And summer is just always so busy. So I'm hoping by the end of the fall, we'll have it completed. Yeah, and so just the unexpected things is, we've had two interns working with us for the past year through the Episcopal Service Corps, and that program unexpectedly ended from the church's point of view. So we're down essentially two staff people, and then also found out that my 6-year museum assistant that's now a visitor services education coordinator is retiring at the end of the summer. So we're not only kind of busy with normal summer things, but we're in we went from like a core of 5 now to like paring down to 2 with 1 to 2 new people coming on in the next 6 months. So lots of changes going on in the museum. So I'm confident that this will be moving along, just not as quickly as I had hoped.
Have you worked out the locations of the audio,
the actual
location
post
and the solar panels with the city, or is that still?
So basically, it was still up to the city to decide what they thought was best. They had not, what my plan was is while we worked on the scripts, just to let them sort of think about it and then let me know if they wanted it to be post mounted into the ground and deal with that, which was going to have a little bit of a snow issue, or mount into one of the log pillars at the at House and Hill Lodge.
Sweet.
So no, that has not been finalized by the city yet. And then the other project was from last October, doing phase four of transcription of the oral histories that we've been working on. The person who was working on that primarily was one of the Episcopal Service Corps interns, and she had left abruptly because her dad had pancreatic cancer. Okay. So that project is a little delayed as well because of how cancer affects families. She has transcribed 94 new video files totaling 5,558 minutes at a cost of $6,595 out of the $7,500. So we've just got a few more to send to the transcription company. And then the museum staff worked on a total of 162 transcripts, out of which 68 were fully edited and formatted. The total staff time spent on checking files, uploading, downloading, connecting paperwork, documenting, and editing was 123 hours for a cost of $1,845 out of $2,500, which was the cash match that the museum had in the project. So we've got essentially more editing to do, a few more transcriptions to upload. Our plan is to try to have it done, same with this, the other project, before the end of the fall. Because that intern left, that's now been thrown on our curators' lap and moved around. The majority of the files were oral history interviews of local people, mostly detailing their personal or family histories. Transcriptions that were covered in this grant included recordings of Paul Bonifield, John Fetcher, Elaine Gay, Ray Hyde, and Life House, and are some of the highlights of the people who were in that. So, yeah, this is in the home stretch, essentially, and I'd say that the audio project's still in beginning stages. The project planning is there, but still needing to really hone down exactly what you want to say in 90 seconds.
Where are the oral histories going to reside?
So eventually we're hoping that they would become similar to Three Wire Winter with the library and be part of the Marmot system. Not every object or photo necessarily, because of how you're familiar, we actually license our photos and try to get revenue from the photos when we print them and things like that. But the audio files, our hope is that the Three Wire Winter is actually complete. That's something I'd love to update you all on. You probably got your invitation in the mail way in advance of the celebration on October 28th. So that project is complete. Everything's been done that was set out to be done for that project, including the grant stuff, which was completed before. So my hope would be that the only issue we have at this point is when Bud Werner set out on their budgeting and mop-up granting and museum input on how that would all happen. It was a finite project, so it's got to be that the library has capacity to do their end of things to eventually get museum collections up. So what we've done is our part, which is the transcription, which is what was needed for the Three Wire Winter, too. And so we're just kind of primed and ready when the library is ready to partner and get essentially the same format of time-stamped transcriptions, that audio oral file, and then cross... The hard part for the library is they cross-reference every material available through libraries with these oral histories. So that's where it's their building of their interface and their platform that's just a massive amount of staff time for the library. And Three Wire Winter was this great little finite project that they could do. So that would be the hope. For now, it's transcribed in Word documents and available, you know, through us. They're listed in our subject files that are available online. So if you were looking for John Fetcher, we would be able to tell you that we have these items, these photos, these files, and in addition to it, three oral histories available, and we could send someone a transcript email to them. So they're accessible. They're just not quite as accessible as they would be through the Marmot system.
Okay.
That would be a long-term goal, but the library needs more capacity for that. They want to maybe teach us how to do all that, but we're not library people. We're museum people. So I'm not sure how... I don't know how it will happen, but we did a little over 200 files interviews for Free Wire Winter. This is another, you know, 300 between all, within our whole collection. So it's every brown bag we're transcribing, every interview that Jane Hill did back in the 90s, interviews that she just passed away. Pat Temple Edwards had done back before the museum was much of a museum. All those oral histories are what we're transcribing through these phases that you're funding. So, so they're ready to go. They just need to be on the web, essentially, and have more access. Any other questions?
Any questions? Thank you for the update.
You're so welcome. Thank you, guys. Thanks for your patience on all of them.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, Laurel. This is Laurel Watson from the Hayden Heritage Center.
Hi, how are you doing? Deanna?
Okay. Deanna.
Deanna. Okay.
Deanna.
Yeah. Me and names.
Oh, yeah. You got the spelling wrong.
Okay.
The pronunciation is different.
So probably the shortest report ever.
Right.
We've got two grants open, the collection stewardship grant. We're slightly behind schedule, but we're under budget. I'm not sure how that works so far, but
nice.
So that's working pretty good. We had wanted to seal the floor before it was supposed to when I submitted the grant in the fall. A board member was working on, they were going to do the floor and had a family member pass away. And then by the time they got me the materials, and in order to seal the floor, we had to wait until it was 50 degrees out. And as all of you might know, 50 degrees came pretty late this year.
Right.
If any, oh, nobody here admitted to the party and picnic. We had it indoors, last minute in the museum.
Too cold.
Because it was snowing that morning.
Yeah.
So we emptied the museum out and had it indoors.
Nice.
So it's just chaos. But we did get, we're moving forward with it. We're, right now, we're 3 months behind. So basically, I'm working on the stuff that was in the grant for April. We're putting up the, we got the shelving. We're putting it together. And we're setting it up. One of our problems that also helped kind of delay this was the fact that we lost our off-site storage.
Mm.
So I'm doing this and moving stuff. Took down the exhibits and I'm moving stuff around. We have these three cases that were going to go elsewhere. We had thought the optimum was to move everything out, do everything, and make it all nice, pretty, and bring everything back in.
Sure.
Well, it's not working that way. I'm playing museum Jenga. That is the only way I can say I think of it, because I'm constantly, you got to move this to get there. And it's like five different, like those little puzzles that you used to get in the road trips at your grandparents.
Yeah.
And so
oh
it's,
my gosh.
It's a little bit of a headache, but it's been going okay. So we've got five of the shelves up. So now we're working on the backs of the shelves, putting those together, and so we're moving forward. So I'm still hoping to close this out by the end of the year.
Great.
Is basically, I mean, it's not, it's a pretty simple project. So we did take down a wall in the museum, the center divider.
Really?
Yes.
In the main museum?
In the museum. Really? Well, what happened was it was put in the 70s,
yeah.
And it was display cases, and some of the glass was, we couldn't get it sanded, so it was a little bit dangerous, you know, for touching. It was the really thin glass, and there was electrical in there that we didn't know had been just covered over, and so it was a good thing that we took it out. So it's now one big room in there. And so when that happened, our thought was we're going to move, we have these 3 8-foot cases, we're going to move those into the main museum since we were losing our off-site storage. So we couldn't move everything out there, but we could move it into the main. Well, when we took that case out, we discovered that when they refinished the floors, they left a whole strip down the middle.
Of course.
And it was like, well, we can still move the cases in. Meanwhile, before I had volunteers to move the cases from point A to point B, Questers came to us and said they wanted to utilize us as their presidential project.
Oh.
And did we have any restoration projects? Well, the floor.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, so they're going to do the floor, and I really can't deny that. That's like a $3,000 job, and there's no match. So they're doing the grant. They're doing it for us. So I'm going to Jenga those cases back so we can get the floor done in the fall.
Sure.
Holy hell.
But nicely, the electric came in $600 less than we had anticipated.
So, oh, that's great.
Because somebody, a master electrician, I can get a hold of the guy who gave me the bid, and the master electrician came in and he did it for us, and he did it pro bono.
Nice.
So there's always little happy accidents, and then there's not. The other grant that we have out is the State Historical Fund grant match for the leverage for funds for the depot roof rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
We did get our State Historical. Congratulations. We got it.
Yay.
This is for the spring.
The state grant.
Yeah. It's for the roof rehabilitation. The state award was $25,970. Our grant match was, I don't have it on me. I think it was, well,
it's okay.
$4,000. Well, ours was $8,000, right? Yeah, $8,000. So we were awarded from MOFF that $4,000.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So we got the money in the bank. We took money out of our general funds. Our thought was that we would just, I wasn't sure how these work with the leverage funds, whether to just do it at the end and come back to MOFF and say, here, the job is done. Thank you. I figured that was the simplest thing. Since I'm dealing with the state, we're doing three payments. We're doing an advance, a term, and a final, just to keep the paperwork down. My treasurer's in the hospital right now, so I'm at a little odds with paperwork. we are fully executed. July 8th, GATA. The state preservationist came down and met with us, and we're waiting on the roofing company, which is out of Denver because it is a clay tile roof.
Mm-hmm.
They're anticipating late August, early September.
Good.
And about 2 weeks. We'll have to close the museum for the scaffolding.
Sure.
But it should fix the problem on the overhang because the overhang's a little wonky, and it was all kind of noted in our HSA.
Yeah.
So that one should close out. That should be relatively simple and easy. And I think that is it.
Any questions?
No. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, thanks, Jingle Master.
Yeah.
Yes. And if anybody wants to, likes moving stuff around, please come by.
Oh, I can't imagine.
No.
You kind of realize how much stuff you have when you start really.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's starting to come through. It's coming together. And I was going to bring pictures, and then people kept coming in today. And Nancy Kramer brought that video, the Dawson Ranch.
Oh.
Some old filming. I think she gave
nice.
The Tread a copy and HRC and whatnot. So it was like we just had people coming in constantly today, which is good.
That pay is good.
Okay.
Thank you for the update.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laurel.
And next we have the Yampa Egeria Historical Society. And Janet's not here. But it looks like the elevator for the handicap access was completed. $10,000 received, so that's closed.
Yep.
No changes in that. And what else here? Thanks to the people that were able to attend. And then the coal miner's bucket park from Historical Society of Oak Creek and Pittsburgh.
And if you have any questions, Nita can't make it, so if there's anything.
So you're filling in for Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, don't, just if you have questions.
Yeah. So it's like the Board of County Commissioners approve the funding. 50%, that was in 16, but they ran into some mold remediation.
Yes. Yeah. Is that all done now, or are they still?
Yes.
Okay.
So they finished that, and then project plan being in place for the basement efforts. Focus is simultaneously directed back to the retaining wall. This is in 17, so that's 2 years ago. An extension of the time would expire on June 2nd of 18, which is a year ago. And it was supposed to be completed by December 31st of 2018, and it appears that the project was completed in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Looks nice.
They closed out the grant by submitting the last reimbursement on January 20th, and then received the final check for the county. So that grant has been closed.
I love how she put grant closed.
Yeah.
That's like,
yeah. Yes.
That's like with texting, that is the exclamation mark there.
Yeah, in capital letters. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with the revitalization project.
Right.
So it's been ongoing for a couple of years.
Yeah, that basement thing was horrible.
Yes. Yeah.
The mold and.
Mm-hmm. And they had to throw out a bunch of stuff because it got.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a great big dumpster of stuff.
Yeah, I thought
all
we
the
had
soft
a picture.
Goods had to be thrown out.
Oh, there are pictures. Yeah, here's us over here looking. You know, they were hauling. We had people with masks, big masks on, to go down into that basement and the dumpster and things that we could wash down. We saved, but some of it we couldn't because there was no way.
Right.
To do that. And then I was gone for this part of it, the bucket park, getting everything out of the way so that they could work on starting for the park.
The retaining wall looks substantial.
Yes.
It's nice.
It's nice. It's real pretty.
So hopefully that won't have to ever be done.
Yes, yes. Right. I'm pretty sure. We got a wonderful man doing that. We should see his house that he's building. And he is the one that came and got this dumpster, and thank goodness for him. Texter.
Who's that, Mary?
Billy Texter. He's a contractor.
Okay.
If you ever go into Oak Creek and, you know, the street that's behind the bank and the gas station, mainly the gas station, he just built kind of a really cool, kind of modern Victorian.
That's the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. And so when we saw his retaining wall, we went over and said, so, would you like to do our retaining wall?
You love this town, right?
Yes, they do. And so when he found out about this project, the cleaning out the basement, he just came over and volunteered to help us.
Wow.
That was nice.
Oh, I know. Because we didn't have that many men, a lot of old women.
Right. Nice to have a younger man.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. And then, I've got...
It's like they have a grant that's to help store documents, photos, and objects with care that reflect the quality and the standards of storage.
Right. Yeah.
That was approved by the county commissioners in the amount of $800. And last fall, November, spring of 2019, 50% of the grant order is complied. A large archival donation was received in May, which would bring some of the changes and the sizes of sleeves to be ordered, all in the details. Anyway, final orders and paperwork will be sent to the county to close out the grant.
Now, the reason for part of that is we got a huge donation, and it's a life timeline of a young World War II soldier.
Oh.
And we got everything from grade school, diaries, then letters to his mom and dad, letters to his brother. I was with Nita when that came in, and we were going through this stuff, and it's just, you know, the telegram missing in action, then the telegram that he died.
Oh, dear.
It just, but it's, you know, it's so sad, but you're just following his whole life to the young man.
Incredible.
Yeah. So that's why we're going to, you know, need more, mm-hmm. because we've got all this fine paper and pictures and uniforms. And
sounds like quite a project.
Yes, yes. Thank goodness for Linda Long and Dorothy Perry.
Huh?
I don't know if you know them.
I know Linda.
Yeah. She's a lifesaver. You want to ask a question? I ask her a question. How old is this? Oh, well, that was like about the 1930s. Okay.
Yeah, she's living history.
Yeah.
She is, yes. And we've had a couple of chats with her. I mean, not me, but Chuck Keating.
Yeah.
And we're doing more with her. And then our newsletter is going to have a section on Edwina Bruder and Joanne Lombardi. Edwina died in November. And those two met in sixth grade and have been the best of buddies ever since.
Oh, cool.
Have you heard anything about Joanne lately?
Yeah.
Is she doing okay?
No, she's got a little bit of cancer down by her bile duct. Hmm. So, surgery the 31st. Yeah. What is she, 88, 89? It's something like that.
She's up there.
Yes, yeah. So, she's down in Denver with her daughter, Lori.
Okay, but she's with somebody.
Yes, yes. And then I think her other daughter that lives in Arkansas or someplace, but she came up and Rock and Jeannie go down there. And then her brother, Wayne and Janice, they're going down tomorrow. Just to, yeah,
sure.
Just a quick visit. Don't want to tire her out. So, anything else?
The guy who was killed in World War II, Mary, does he have relatives around?
Mm-hmm. Do you know his name, by chance?
You know what? I didn't write that down.
That's okay. We'll find out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out.
It was just, yeah. Pictures, oh my gosh. And it looked like my dad, you know, World War II. Mm. Those guys standing against a wall with cigarettes in their hands and they're, you know, just... I was like, oh my gosh, that could be my dad.
Sure. Then we have the second phase of the Coal Miners Bucket Park landscape phase for our outdoor exhibit that exists between the 1937 fire truck and the Tracks and Trails Museum. Budget is $73,000 and it's funded by a variety of sources. Small Fab, Big Grand, Great Outdoors, mm-hmm. Historical Society of Oak Creek, donations. So in May of, let's see, what's it?
Isn't that amazing? They got all those together. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been working.
They've been.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy Texter, here is time.
Yeah, that's who.
Right there. Jay Whaley, Coal Car Restoration, July of 19th, so that's just this month,
mm-hmm.
working on a grant coordination detail and in-house project administration worksheet shows that all dates for multiple grant submittals and track costs with receipts and expenditures Also, orders and ready logs to tie in the existing wall from the supplier. We'll share the cost of transportation of blocks with the town of Oak Creek, and the town has another project that aligns with ours.
So we're sharing the cost of that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the docents to work on extra shifts at the museum so the manager can concentrate on grant administration.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what this pending is. Order a Rock Ranger donation to. What's that?
A safe thing to, you know, put money in.
Uh-huh.
As donations like they have at state parks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see.
I know. I asked the same thing. What is that?
And where is that going to be located?
It's down in the Bucket Park.
Oh, in the park.
Mm-hmm. Because there are so many people that drive down, oh my gosh, what is that thing? And they stop.
Yeah, sure.
And they walk around and look at
the
mining stuff. And I'd say half of them don't come in. You know, you almost, we have to go out. You can come into the museum. Oh, no, we've only got a few minutes, but, you know.
So here's a place you can leave a donation if you like.
Right.
I like it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the new parking meters that they installed at the trailheads.
Yeah.
They've gotten over $1,000 this month in those things already.
No.
Yeah.
Wondered about those, how they were doing.
Yeah, and of course, in July, it's a matching grant up to $10,000. So all that's doubled during the month of July. So that, you know, a very big success, and apparently a lot of other mountain towns are taking notice and trying to do the same thing.
And these are donations, Pete.
Yeah, you have to do with, it's like a parking meter, and you have to do it with your credit card, and, you know, the minimum amount is $5.
I gotcha.
I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems to work.
And then when you leave, you use your credit card again?
No, you just put it in there and say how much you want to donate, and the minimum amount is $5.
Okay.
I've seen them out there, but I haven't really looked at them in detail. But
yeah.
Might be something you could use for. So, talk to Helen Bell at the Yampa Valley Community Fund, I think it is.
She's a community fund.
Yeah, she's the one that's running the program.
Okay.
Helen Bell, and then her last name is B-E-A-L-L, I think?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Talk to her about it, because that might be something that you might be able to institute there at the Bucket Park for
easily.
You know, and it's safe, and nobody's going to take the money. And it's pretty successful. I think they have several of them around. I don't know where they all are, but it's working out pretty good, better than they expected.
Okay.
First, nobody carries cash anymore.
Good point. Make it so you can touch your Apple Watch to it.
What'd you say, Diane?
Nobody's doing cash anymore. You got to have those little swipey, swipey cards.
And then let's see, what do we have here? Oh, this is Historic Rock County. Anything else on Oak Creek?
No, unless you have questions.
Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay.
And then on the last page here for this is Historic Rock County, the interpretive signs, that grant has been closed in October of 18, and the total reimbursement was $4,862. And I don't know if you've seen any of those signs or not, but they're pretty good. And it looks like they'll last for quite a few years. And then they're sponsoring another grant that's also been closed is sponsored for the Perry Mansfield Arts School in Camden.
Actually, that was the one that was withdrawn.
That was withdrawn because, exactly.
I'm not sure on this, the cultural heritage, the interpretive signs. That one dates back to 2015 or 16.
I'm
not sure how that one slipped through or whether we had approved an extension.
I think we did an extension on that.
I was looking. But
We did an extension.
We did.
I think we did, too. I remember that.
That was when Nancy Kramer was involved.
Right,
she was
exactly.
The one who did the presentation to us.
Yeah.
So. The guy that made the signs quit making the signs, and they had to find somebody new, and it was a one-year delay or something like that.
Yeah.
As I remember.
Yeah, they had to keep the continuity and make them look the same.
Yeah, and
and then the guy goes out of business.
The guy goes out of business, so they have to find somebody new, and they have to train him up on how to do it.
Yeah.
Normal business kind of things.
The other thing that the historic Route County did not provide us was any kind of an update on the structural rehabilitation of the Warning Willett house, the nonprofit that we approved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, over here. Yeah, that's right.
That's in process. So I don't know whether Emily thought that Millie was going to provide it or just... because it was so recent, dropped out of sight.
Yeah, that's right. That would be something. Would you request her to update us on that, please? Just she can do it in an email.
Yeah.
Any other business? Let's see what else we have here. The next meeting will be held on October 22nd, and we'll be looking at the fall capacity building grant applications at that time.
Okay.
So, and those have to be into the staff assistant, Deanna, by October 4th. And she'll send out a reminder to everybody a few weeks ahead of time just to make sure they all know. Okay. Any movements? Any motions?
I'll make a motion. We adjourn.
Holly seconds it.
All in favor say yes.
Yes.
6:43.
Holy cow, that's the fastest meeting I think we've ever done, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the rest of the evening. I'll go mow my lawn. If it's dry enough after that little rainstorm.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up to always do the meeting. We're always like, is Pete here?
<'Cause>
nobody wants to fill your shoes.
And don't forget there is pie in there.
Yeah, I already ate a little piece.
I did too.
I found it.
Did you?
I found it. Do that right
now. Okay.
Okay.
I missed the other gals. I was like,
I know.
Jeez.
Who are we missing? Becky
and.
Ellen.
Ellen.
I was thinking Bonifield. Yes. Ellen. Yeah. I had a picture to give to her too.
Darn it.
No.
Ellen?
Yeah.
California.
Oh.
They have a daughter out there that had to go to Hawaii or something, and they, I think, six